God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. While worshiping together is a deeply communal experience, inherently, somehow it's also so private. Because throughout the vast majority of our time together in this particular space, whether you're here physically or virtually, we are silent. We might mouth a prayer or join in on the call to worship, but your inner world and your particular journey remains hidden from the people nearby. It remains hidden from the preacher, the presider, and the many worship leaders. We are mostly silent here together as a group in worship, but your journey whispers to you, tucked into your head and your chest. And it's a journey none could actually ever know fully unless they were you or God. And we all experience this reality together, privately. Still, it's good to just be together in silence, not needing to say a word, but bonded by a simple fact that we chose to be here and seek to hear a word. Praying that while none can know our own journeys like ourselves or God, that others might be able to still speak within it. So, if I may, one thing that I know that I could say about you, whether or not I actually know you at all, is that you probably know what it's like to begin. You probably know what it's like to enter into something new, a new era, a new opportunity, a new blessing, and to feel like maybe you could be something or do something great, to be curious and excited about the future, and to see its promises like a rising sun beyond the hills. The future sings a beautiful hymn, and you can't help but to stop and listen. Milk and honey. You sow, confident things will grow, and why wouldn't they? You stand on fertile ground. You might know what it's like to see a door open in your life and to enter through it as if you were anointed and fated for this very door. To know that what lies ahead may not be easy, but your morale is high and your courage brims amid excitement and maybe even fear. In the beginning was hope, and hope was with God, and hope was God, and it beckoned you forward to the promise of abundance. If only that was the only way to experience beginnings, because you might also know what it's like to reluctantly begin against your will. To not have chosen a particular beginning for yourself, but the beginning came to you anyway. You might know what it's like to be so afraid of what lies ahead, or you might know the feeling of a dread you can or cannot place, or a grief that lives in your bones for moving on from a time that was once so great, or at least better than where you were finding yourself now. A new door opened for you, but you couldn't see any life beyond it, and nevertheless were shoved inside. You might know what it's like to feel hopeless about the hand you were dealt, to question who dealt you the hand, and to feel like you were on a path that you don't have a way off of. To lift your eyes up to the hills where help does not come, the sun does not rise, the future does not sing, but dark clouds loom. And you know that the sun must still exist somewhere, but you wonder if it will ever shine on you again, and if it will, when. You might know what it's like to feel like the work you put into something didn't amount to anything. You pruned a tree day after day, and it did not bear any fruit. Even after all of the pruning, even after all the praying, and after all the begging. Or maybe it once did bear fruit, but the branches are now barren, and they have been for a while. You went out bearing the seed for sowing and came home with no sheaves. Maybe you know what it's like to arrive at an end and know that you can't go back. Maybe you know what death tastes like, the real death of the people you love, or the death of a time, place, opportunities, or a life you loved. You would know that the taste is so putrid that you can't get it out of your mouth as much as you may try, and then you can't eat, sleep, or even breathe without its trace being there. If you've known in your journeys for any of these things to be true, then we might be able to imagine together a people from long ago who, as a community, experienced the same. The ancient peoples of Israel. They were people who knew what it was like to begin. They knew what it was like to begin willingly. They knew what it was like to begin reluctantly against their will. And through trials, they found themselves in exile from a land, a life, and a home they once knew. Taken captive by their enemies and dragged to a new place, embarking on a whole new journey, moving from the hope-filled beginning of a promised land to the sorrow-filled beginning of captivity, moving from abundance to desolation, from life to death. And the taste of death would be so putrid for them that it would linger even after the exile had reached its end generations later. As the existence of beginnings must mean the end to something else, endings, of course, must call forth a new beginning of some kind. After the end of their freedom in the promised land and the new beginning of captivity, generations later, the people of Israel did arrive at another end. Captivity had finally ended, and it was time to go home. And though they were coming back to the place they once knew, they would come to find that they couldn't actually go back to the way things were. Things were different now, nothing untouched by death. And though they had spent the last several generations in a wilderness in Babylon, they were now arriving at another, a chilling reality, because where there was now a new wilderness in their story, there was once home. Our stories, as we know too well, very rarely turn out exactly how we would hope for them to go. And if we're honest, feeling disappointed in one's reality, and many times in oneself, is a uniting part of the human experience. But thankfully, God has a particular ability, unlike any other being, to purify, to take what is disappointing and bring new opportunities, to take what is dead and call forth new life. God has a particular ability to take burning coal, bring it to our lips, and let the fire transform everything inside. What once was can't be again. We can't go back. We can't necessarily get exactly what we are hoping for in the future. And yet, we can always be transformed now to face what lies before us. The point of transformation in our Isaiah passage today begins with a recollection. As it is written, "He said to me, 'You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified.' But I said, 'I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity.' Yet surely my cause is with the Lord and my reward with my God." A recollection, a lasting conviction, peeking out through the rubble. And with this recollection and this conviction that surely my cause is with the Lord and my reward with my God, yet another new beginning emerges. "And now," the Lord says, "who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." The prophecy. The prophecy which revealed God's mission in their lives, going well beyond their own lives, uniting them with the nations. God was on a mission to restore and to save generationally and to the ends of the earth. And so their new beginning started with this choice: to recall the call, to accept, and to move forward with the knowledge that God sought to restore and to save, not just for their well-being or their family's well-being, but for the well-being of everyone in the world to come. And I think to myself, perhaps the real fruit of our lives was never how good our circumstances looked to us, or how much of what we hoped for actually came into being. But perhaps the real fruit of our lives was always our willingness to show up to what is here and to give what is here our all for the glory of the one who created us, sustains us, transforms us, and saves us. If you've experienced beginnings, and if you've experienced endings in your life, you probably know what it's like to choose to begin again. To live the serenity prayer: God, help me to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Whether you stare at a welcomed beginning or not, you might know what it's like to get up from the dirt, spit out the blood from your mouth, see the stones continuing to guide onward, and as you step, you find your radiant spirit again, your purpose and your calling. You might know what it's like for your perspective to expand, to find that the tale of your life was always about so much more than you could have ever imagined, about so much more than your journey alone. And how could it not be? Anything else would be too light a thing. You might know what it's like to suddenly feel something move beside you, to feel someone move beside you. And for a moment, you remember something. Through it all, there was always someone to return to: the breath of life and your kin, hidden just beyond those hills, beside you, and within your very heart. In the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, amen.